Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet Camp Ripley's new senior commander, and we'll hear the latest on Minnesota's efforts to eliminate veteran homelessness. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
With the new year comes new opportunities to improve our lives. This year, ask yourself if your resolutions are smart. Are they specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound? First, are your resolutions specific? Do you clearly describe what you will achieve? Next, are they measurable? Are there metrics you can use to track your progress? Also, are your resolutions realistically achievable? Next, are they relevant or something that really matters to you? Finally, are your resolutions time-bound? Setting a deadline for yourself will help keep you on track. Make this year the year you reach your SMART goals. Happy New Year.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said earlier, we're going to meet Camp Ripley's new senior commander, who is Brigadier General Lowell Cruz. And Camp Ripley Training Center is located near Little Falls. It's a 53,000-acre regional training center hosting numerous ranges and state-of-the-art facilities to support training requirements for military and civilian agencies. Camp Ripley provides resources enabling customers to train in a realistic environment while sustaining lodging and conference space for customer events, programs, and educations. Additionally, the camp remains committed to environmentally sound stewardship throughout central Minnesota to include its 18 miles of undeveloped Mississippi River shoreline. Through the efforts of the Post Environmental Office and partnership with the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources, Camp Ripley is committed to success in the fields of natural and cultural resource management, highlighted by the construction of a 10-megawatt solar field in conjunction with Minnesota Power's efforts aimed at making Camp Ripley a net-zero installation. And joining me now in the studio is their senior commander, Brigadier General Lowell Cruz. General, welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm excited to be here. So,
General, I know you've had a number of duties up near and around Camp Ripley, but can you share with our listeners how long you've been in the military?
So I'm starting my 30th year as a guardsman in the Minnesota National Guard. I joined in September of 1988. Had a lot of opportunities to be a traditional guardsman for the first almost 20 years of my time. And since then, I've had the opportunity to work full-time for the Minnesota National Guard and blend both service in a unit as well as working day-to-day for the Adjutant General. So.
And you've spent quite a few years on Camp Ripley. That's quite a facility, sir.
I have, yes. I came to the installation in 2006, where I started my first job after I deployed with our battalion in 2004 and 2005. From that point on, I've worked in a couple different jobs, spent a lot of time working for a couple different post commanders on the installation. And so I tell people now in my new position that I've really been training for it for about 12 years. So I'm comfortable with what I'm doing.
And, sir, you were recently pinned as a Brigadier General. Congratulations.
Yeah, that was an exciting time for me and my family, and really cool that the National Guard's taken that investment in me and allowed me to serve and continue to serve, because as we know as military officers, we're limited how long we can serve, and I had about a year left before I was going to have to hang up my boots. So this opportunity to serve in this new capacity as a general for General Jensen was pretty cool. And for the installation, it's really beneficial. We've already started to see the benefits of having that influence at the next level, and our ability to sell what we're doing through maybe just one layer of decision rather than two or three has been beneficial for us.
So with that promotion, you became the senior commander at Camp Ripley and also an assistant adjutant general Army.
Yes, sir. In my role as the senior commander in the installation, it's my job to guide and supervise and help mentor the five colonels that are directorates there at Camp Ripley. And more importantly, an example of that would be yesterday I just held a officer call of all the officers that work full-time for us on the installation. And in an effort to take what is four or five stovepipes of excellence and turn them into more of a more combined visionary team working together rather than sometimes against each other as we end up working our way through what we do day to day for the Minnesota National Guard.
So. Very good, sir. We're speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's a senior commander at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. General, we started out by talking about the fact it's a 53,000-acre regional training center, actually a state asset.
Yes, sir. It's state-owned, state property. The state started acquiring it right after World War I, so the acquisition happened in 1929. And it's grown over the years. In the 50s, we grew considerably, and we are now in our current footprint.
And, sir, a lot of our fellow Minnesotans probably think that Camp Ripley is just a training facility for the Minnesota National Guard, but it's much more than that, and a lot of other agencies come up there and use it.
You know, under General Nash, Colonel St. Sauber, the previous post commander, was challenged with expanding his customer base. And taking the installation from being a seasonal place, a seasonal resort for soldiers, and turning it into a year-round operation. And we've, as an installation, have done a good job with that. The Highway Patrol, the Department of Natural Resources, the Department of Public Safety are all entities that are coming to Camp Ripley year-round to use the facilities there. And so we design a lot of our facilities so that it's co-use with, you know, with an eye towards how can our civilian agency partners use this facility as well as the military.
And sir, we're sitting here looking out the windows of the studio at a snowstorm, and it occurs to me that a lot of our snowplow drivers have been up to Camp Ripley a few months ago practicing plowing sand.
They plowed a lot of sand at Camp Ripley, and more importantly, they got a chance to do a lot of highway driving in and around the installation itself. Our new emergency vehicle operating course gives them a chance to drive those snowplows on, you know, roads that they're going to practice on, and they practice at Camp Ripley so that when they're out on the road right now, they can be as safe as they can be for us.
And General, in addition to those agencies that use it and the Minnesota National Guard, there are units from other states that come up there and train as well.
Yes. We actively recruit from a regional base of probably a 5 or 6 state base of units. You see a lot of Guard units coming from South Dakota and Iowa, Wisconsin. This summer we hosted Ohio and a few other outstate Guard units, as well as a large reserve exercise in August.
So, General, you've essentially got a small city going up there with lots of tourists, lots of people visiting and using the facility.
We do, yes, sir. It is a small city, and we have all the elements of a normal city government that work for me in various spots.
So. From the road crews to maintaining your electricity, you've got this new partnership with Minnesota Power for the solar field. You've got all the issues that a city manager might have.
We do, and that's at the heart of my job, is to try to describe that vision of what the place looks like in 20 to 30 years and make sure that we're not, you know, building something on top of some place where we really need something else in the future.
It's one of the best training facilities in the country.
It is. I think if you travel nationwide, my friends in the 34th Infantry Division will tell me that they can't go anywhere without, you know, and receive the same kind of customer service and facilities that we have at Camp Ripley.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about some of the things that happened at Camp Ripley in 2017 and things you're looking forward to this year. We're speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's a senior commander at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who is the senior commander at Camp Ripley. And General, earlier in the show, we made reference to the fact that Minnesota National Guard, in partnership with Minnesota Power, has constructed a 10-megawatt solar field. And one of the goals of Camp Ripley is to become a net zero installation. Can you explain that to us, sir?
Well, net zero installations for us, and for what that means to me, is that we're trying to not consume any more energy, or we're trying to produce as much energy and waste as we're trying to produce as much energy as we can consume, and we're trying to minimize and find uses for all our waste so that we don't put anything back in the environment.
So self-sufficiency is kind of the goal.
It is, and that the solar field's at the heart of that for us. Obviously, when the sun's down, we have to have some other ways of producing electricity to support that goal. But it's a Minnesota National Guard goal, but it comes from the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense issued us an edict that we needed to get to self-sufficiency and net zero at some point, and so that's what's driving this.
And you're getting closer.
We are, yes. We are very close to being able to, you know, survive a power outage or a propane outage or a natural gas outage and be able to continue to operate and have all our lights on and have everything working for us.
Those are great goals, sir. And General, my understanding is 2017 was a pretty busy year up at Camp Ripley.
Camp Ripley's op tempo, we keep saying next year might be slower, but it seems like every year is a little bit more. And this last year, we started the year with the Norwegian Exchange that showed up in February, hosting our NATO partners in, from Norway there for 2 weeks. It led then into a lot of activity in April and March and April preparing equipment to deploy to Europe. And we sent a whole battalion's worth of equipment to Europe to participate in a European exercise with the Lithuanians and the Germans. And it was really, you know, the strategic purpose of that is to show Putin that the United States still has the capability of deploying equipment to Europe. And we set some records inside of that deployment that were pretty amazing for the Minnesota National Guard. We were able to meet our ship at port and have our equipment in Lithuania in under 72 hours. And that's a pretty amazing piece of logistical work that that team did to do that.
So. And General, I understand at the end of that mission, some of the equipment stayed over there to for a second mission.
It did, yep. They held back about a company's worth of tanks and other equipment, and we shipped that over to Sweden, and it participated in a second exercise in September and October in Sweden. And that equipment just arrived back here a month or so ago. So it's been away from Minnesota for about a year with all its travels. But, you know, once again, it showed the validity of the operational force that the National Guard has become. And at the center of that is Camp Ripley as a power projection platform for the Minnesota National Guard. And so all that equipment left on rail and was a pretty busy time for us preparing it to go to send it on the rail, and now there's lots of mechanics back at Ripley fixing it again. So,
General, I was going to ask you about that. The year before, you sent about a 9-mile trainload of equipment out to the National Training Center for 2 weeks in the box, 2 weeks out in the desert.
Yes, sir.
And all that equipment came back, and your mechanics up there had to get it ready for the next mission quickly.
They did, yes. They had to prioritize. Obviously, everything we do is about prioritization. And in this case, we knew that what equipment was going back to Europe in a short 6-month period. And when you start talking about fixing tanks where we have a long lead time sometimes for parts and stuff like that, that can be a complicated math problem of how we're doing what first. So
part of the readiness factor is get that equipment back, get it ready to go for the next mission, and then be ready, stand by.
And we're to the point where we're sending mechanics. We had mechanics over in Lithuania that were identifying what was wrong with the equipment so that we could get ahead of the cycle by ordering the parts, and that at the time they were loading the equipment in Europe
so that
the parts were on the shelf when the equipment finally got back to Minnesota.
Very good, sir. We're speaking with Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's a senior commander at Camp Ripley on Minnesota Military Radio. General, what's coming up for 2018?
We our 2018's kind of a hodgepodge of our normal military training kind of cycle. We have the brigade has got some requirements to go to Texas with some of their troops. So we'll be rail loading some equipment for some exercises across the state. We have the 34th Infantry Division that is in the middle of their warfighter, so they've reserved a large portion of our installation and have facilities set up to support their division headquarters so that they don't have to tear their equipment up and down during their individual training in the winter here. So they're prepping for a large command post exercise that'll occur in May. And then we're in the middle of doing a lot of what we call SRPs, soldier readiness processes. We have a lot of units that we're rolling through there where they're getting all their medical and records updated for deployments to Kuwait, potential deployments in other places in the world. And so we've got a lot of that activity going on. Later in the summer, we'll host a CSTX, which is a command support. A large logistical exercise that the Army Reserve manages, and we did the first iteration of that this summer, and we'll do it again here. And it's a combined exercise between Fort McCoy and Camp Ripley, allowing those truck drivers and logisticians to understand the effect of a 300-400-mile drive between Fort McCoy and Camp Ripley.
So, General, when you've got all these troops and different units rotating through Camp Ripley all year long, you've got to be involved in helping supply food and lodging, and and they all have need to get out to the range and get qualified and get ready for their next mission.
My operations officer calls camp, his job is being the resort manager. And truly, if you put it in a resort mentality, Camp Ripley has all the same kind of functionality as any one of your, you know, resorts. And it becomes a large scheduling process for us to understand who's coming, what they're coming for, and what resources we need to have on the ground prep for them to arrive and use.
General, it's probably a good thing you spent a bunch of years as a logistics officer.
Well, I pride myself with being a field artilleryman, but I found out that skill set made me pretty good at understanding timelines and what needed to happen for logistics operations, too. So
General, how many full-time troops do you have up there?
We have about 630 full-time employees at Camp Ripley. They're state employees and federal employees that that keep the operation going for the installation. So they're there every day, and but assigned soldiers there, we got about a half dozen units that's their drilling location. And then and the full-time team supports them just like any other unit across the state. So,
and of course, the 133rd Airplane comes up there and uses your runway as well.
We do. Both them and the 934th, our Air Reserve, fly over my house almost every night as they're taking practice landings of our airfield, prepping them to go overseas.
So. It's a busy place up there, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
General, you've been in the service now for 30 years. You recently promoted to Brigadier General. You're the senior commander at Camp Ripley. For our listeners on the stations all over Minnesota, if they were thinking something about joining the Guard, either to serve on weekends or as a career, what would you have to tell them?
Well, I would tell them that the Minnesota National Guard's given me a tremendous amount of opportunities. And I tell people that, you know, I always wanted to do two things. When I was growing up, one was to be a soldier and one was to be a farmer. And the first 18 years of my National Guard career, I got to do both. It helped paid for my education. The first 10, 12 years, it was a monthly car payment for me is what my service gave. But I tell you the truth, though, that it was that passion to serve that and be part of a community. And it's that culture that you join is pretty important. And I can't tell people, or it's hard to explain that to people, that sense of belonging and the sense of military culture and how that you feed off of that after a while.
So if you had to do it all over again, you would?
I would, yes, sir. There's nothing negative in what's happened in my experience.
So. General, I'd like to thank you for joining us in the studio today, and we look forward to getting up to Ripley this summer and maybe doing some broadcasting from up there.
My door is open. We're ready to host you. You come on up.
So, thank you, sir.
Yep.
That was Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, who's a senior commander at Camp Ripley. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll hear the latest efforts on Minnesota's behalf to eliminate veteran homelessness. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about the latest efforts to eliminate veterans' homelessness. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelito.
In 1983, legislation was signed creating a federal holiday marking the birthday of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. In 1994, Congress designated the Martin Luther King, Jr. federal holiday as a National Day of Service. This milestone is the perfect opportunity for Americans to honor Dr. King's legacy through service. Dr. King believed in a nation of freedom and justice for all, and encouraged all citizens to live up to the purpose and potential of America by applying the principles of nonviolence to make this country a better place to live, creating the beloved community. I encourage you to volunteer your service and move our nation closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. Volunteer at a veterans home, a VA hospital, or an organization of your choice to make a difference.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now to talk about curing the problem of veterans homelessness, or at least trying, is Neil Lloyd Holt. Neil is a major general in the Minnesota Army National Guard and a deputy adjutant general, but he went from a full-time soldier to a part-time soldier, I think about a year ago, to take the position of president of MACV, the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans here in Minnesota. And General, welcome back to the studio.
Well, thanks for having me back, Tom. You know, I was thinking when you were interviewing your last guest how much better it is to sit here in uniform, but I'm happy to be here in my suit and tie today to talk to you about ending veteran homelessness.
Your tuxedo looks just fine, sir.
Yes, well, thank you.
General, sorry, I called you General for so many years, that just comes out, sir. Could you tell us about your position in MACV and what the mission of MACV is?
Well, the mission of MACV, Tom, is to end veteran homelessness. We do that primarily through stable housing, employment-related services, and some small legal services to help veterans overcome those barriers to both stable housing and employment.
And, sir, we've heard for a number of years now that the goal of MACV and a number of other agencies in the Twin Cities is to eliminate veteran homelessness. And I've always thought that's kind of like trying to catch smoke, because we can take the people on the streets today and help them get into housing and get some jobs. But unfortunately, there's some new homeless people that turn up to take their places.
Tom, that's true, but that doesn't mean that our mission can't be to end veteran homelessness. If we can't end veteran homelessness, I think it's unlikely that we'll be able to end or make a big impact on homelessness overall. And so while I appreciate your analogy about chasing smoke, what we have been talking about currently in the space is called functional zero, Tom. That means there aren't currently homeless veterans, and we have a system in place so that should you or Lowell or I show up tomorrow homeless, we can immediately move you through the range of resources that are required with the confidence that you will end up in a stable living environment. So you're right, not actual zero, but functional zero.
Have to keep trying, sir. Can you share with us, how do you identify, how do you find the veterans that are homelessness, or maybe the veterans that are spiraling down and could be homeless soon?
So we partner with a number of agencies in the metropolitan area here and in large metropolitan areas. We're partnered with places like Union Gospel Mission, Catholic Charities, St. Stephen's, those community organizations who are in and around the overall homeless community, and they see homeless veterans in that as well. In Minnesota, we're fortunate in every county to have a veteran service officer. Those veteran service officers know the veterans in their county and usually know the veterans that are in need. And ourselves, MACV, we're statewide, Tom, with offices in Mankato, the metro here, St. Cloud. We have a presence, Duluth, and an outreach worker in the Northwest. And our team is also out there trying to find and identify homeless veterans. And lastly, Tom, I think the best way we do that is your listeners. Veterans know other veterans, and veterans know which veterans are struggling to the point where they probably need some assistance. And frequently, it's easier for the veteran friend to ask. And so, you know, we had this call-in telethon in December with WCCO. And while we did have just a tremendous outpouring of financial support, we had four people call in, Tom, to say that they knew of a homeless or struggling veteran. And in fact, right here in our own city, in Roseville, a woman called in to say that her 84-year-old neighbor, who was a Korean War veteran, who was also a hoarder, was about to be evicted from his house. And so we were able to get partnered up there and help bring that to a better resolution.
And, sir, I'm assuming it's a little bit easier. If we can catch them before they hit the rock bottom, it's easier to bring them back.
It is easier to bring them back. It's also more cost-effective, Tom, because at the end of the day, we have limited resources that we're able to apply to the challenge here. And so if we can get to the left, if you will, of homelessness, maybe by being able to pay for a tank of LP gas for you in northern Minnesota for $325, that'll keep you from missing a house payment. Maybe if I can pay $189 to put new tires on your car, you won't lose your job and then also miss your house payment. That's a much better proposition for us than when you come to us, Tom, after having been on the street for a long, long time, and you have a mistrust of the system, you have no resources left, you likely don't have any family connections and or support structure. That's a long road to recovery.
We're speaking with Neil Lloyd Holt, the president of MACV here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, one of the ways that we've been talking about on this show for years is every year you have a number of stand-downs around the state to help our homeless or near homeless veterans, help any veterans for that matter. Have you got a series of those coming up this year?
We'll have 10 stand downs again this year, Tom. One of the things that we're going to continue to experiment with based on the results that we saw in December, where we hosted a veteran holiday meal first. That was the centerpiece, and we wrapped the stand-down supportive services around that. We want to try that in a couple other areas, probably our larger areas, maybe Rochester, Mankato, maybe again in Duluth, which is to have the stand-down be anchored by a community event. So the community is already participating, the community is already coming out, and then in conjunction with that, put our veteran supportive services. So think in Duluth, a morning event, the supportive services are there, veterans come, homeless veterans, veterans in need. The afternoon wraps into one of those, you know, standard Duluth summer weekend parties, maybe a small concert, maybe a barbecue, whatever the case might be, to continue to connect the veterans in need with the community members from the community that they live in who have the resources to help them.
And, sir, we did a show from the Minneapolis stand down, I think, 2 years ago, and it became very clear to us that volunteers were there, but also local companies were there volunteering and providing products and services. And also you had the VA Medical Center out there to help as well.
Indeed. We're so very fortunate in Minnesota because of the environment of volunteerism, of charitable giving, but also a number of our large Fortune 500 companies here are huge supporters of ours, Wells Fargo, U.S. Bank, Target Corporation, 3M. Just about every single one of them through their veterans network contributes to us either financially, contributes to us through their networks with their personnel, or sometimes in-kind donations, Tom.
And, sir, MACV is a 501c3 nonprofit?
It is.
And if any of our listeners want to get involved in the stand-downs or to further volunteer with any of the efforts to eliminate veteran homelessness, you can go to the website, which is mac-v.org, macv.org, and you're always looking for volunteers and for companies to help.
Yes, sir. We are looking to partner as much as we possibly can. It's how our little company of 38 people can have such a large impact on the veteran homelessness problem in Minnesota.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit more about some of your events, including a report on the holiday event from WCCO that just concluded. We're speaking with Neil Leutholt, president of MACV on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting with Neil Leutholt, president of MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. MACV is a 501c3 nonprofit. Its mission is to try to help eliminate veterans' homelessness. The website is macv.org, mac-v.org. And, sir, we were talking just before the break. You had mentioned that you had a big holiday event that, with the help of WCCO, you were raising some funds to help with this effort. How'd that go?
Their event, Tom. We were able to partner with WCCO, Minnesota Twins, great benefactors at Central Roofing, who are supporters over there at CCO, to both conduct a campaign, an awareness campaign. So seven different stories that WCCO's reporter team put together for us, everything from stand down to individual veteran stories and events that those stories played over a period of 10 days, during which time WCCO offered us the opportunity to have two full days of telethon activities, as I mentioned before. So while we raised money, we also raised awareness, and we were able to connect with some veterans that we didn't know about. And then all of that then culminated with a veteran holiday meal at the Twin Stadium in the Delta Sky Club area there that the Twins help us put on. We served over 150 veterans and families at the meal, and then in conjunction with that, we had wraparound supportive services. The Twins were most gracious. Rod Crew, who is himself a United States Marine Corps veteran, and Justin Morneau both came down at the two different feeding times to shake hands with veterans, to thank them for their service, and to hear what it was that they had on their minds.
So once again, you had some great partners to help with that holiday event.
Well, we did. It just doesn't come together without great partners. We were fortunate enough this summer to be able to build a veteran family home in conjunction with the Builders Association of the Twin Cities Foundation and Lennar Homes. Both of those organizations, along with Wells Fargo and central banking offered matches, Tom, during portions of our telethon. So their employees would come in for 1/2 hour or 1 hour of the telethon, help us answer the phone, get to know and meet us, and then their companies match the donations during those periods of times. Makes a big difference.
Sound like great partners to me, sir.
Yes, they are.
So there's really two sides of your mission at MACV. One is to make sure you take care of all of our veterans that are suffering from homelessness or about to maybe spiral down into that. But on the other side of it, you're always looking for volunteers and donations and trying to raise some money.
We are. It's our cost continues to increase because the average cost of rents in the metro area is increasing. But in 2015, our direct financial assistance per veteran was in about $780 per veteran, Tom. Just think cash to pay for a rent or to fix a car or to pay a bed bug bill. I've paid a bed bug bill since I've been there. This year, we're going to be approaching about $2,000 here at the end of 17 when our 17 data comes in. So it's indicative of two things, changing the market, as I mentioned to you. But as we make significant progress, Tom, what's left in the population are harder to house veterans with more issues that take a little bit greater time and some more resources to be able to solve. And so without the great partners that I described, but also without all the great listeners who send in 10, 20, 50 bucks to help us, we apply that across the spectrum wherever veterans are in need.
And those small donations add up over the course of the year. And once again, if you go to macv.org, mac-v.org, you'll find a lot of information about all the great work that you're doing. And, sir, we've focused the last couple of times you were here, we were talking about veterans and veteran homelessness, but probably all too often it's not just the veteran, it's the veteran and the veteran's family that you're trying to help as well.
Indeed, and some of our programs specifically allow for that because it isn't just the impact to the single male veteran, which is a large portion of our population, Tom, but 17%. Of the veterans that we helped this past year were female veterans, and 25% of our veterans overall have dependents. So a homeless veteran in a van is not likely making his child support payment or being able to be available and participate with his children or his spouse along the way. The house I mentioned to you, we were able to put a veteran in that house with his wife and their six kids. Imagine the impact that homelessness has when that family was living in a van just 90 days before we were able to put him in that house.
We're speaking with Neil Lightoat, who is the president of Minnesota's Assistance Council for Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, it occurs to me that when I was in Vietnam, we sent about 3 million men over there, and we sent 7,500 women. But nowadays, they tell me that about 25% of those who serve in the military are women. Things have changed dramatically, and that has to be reflected in the homelessness effort as well.
It is. That's why that percentage is increasing. As I said, 17% this year, 13% last year, 9% the year before. We should expect, as females increase in the overall percentage of representation in the armed forces, they're going to increase in our population as well.
So, sir, a couple of things that you're probably looking for. Number one is donations, and the small ones count. But number two, you're always looking for volunteers as well.
We are. We use volunteers at our stand-down events. We conduct legal clinics every month. A lot of volunteers help us at the legal clinic, not just the lawyers. We have a really great pro bono bar here in Minnesota that I'm so very thankful for, the large law firms, small law firms alike, all the time that they donate to us. But also in our community events is where volunteers can make the biggest difference, because I think for us to get as close to the functional zero or actual zero, Tom, as we discussed, it's going to take communities taking care of their own veterans. I would be perfectly happy if no one needed MACV anymore, headquartered here in the metro, because they were able to take care of their homeless, disabled, in need veterans right there in the community where they find them.
Sir, a couple of years ago, we did some interviews from that stand down, and one of the stories we had was a former homeless veteran talking to us about the importance of a door, something as simple as a door. And what he was talking about was, I got off the streets, they helped me get a very small apartment with a door. Now I had my space. Now I had the ability to get a job. Now I had the ability to help myself come back. It's really kind of critical that there are steps in getting bringing them back into the society.
That's a fact. This is the underlying philosophy behind what's called Housing First, Tom. Namely, if you can't be in a place where you can feel safe to be overnight, to be for a period of time, it is unlikely for us to think that you'll be able to start working on your anger issues, your addiction issues, your chemical dependency issues, your mental health issues. So housing first. As soon as we can, get you from the untenable situation you're in into a longer-term supportive housing situation, then we'll start to work on your medical needs. We'll then try to get you connected to the VA. Possibly you can work. We'll try to get you a job here in the metro area. Our legal team will help you if you need some help that way, and we will put you on a sustainable path, because we don't want to be in the business simply of writing rent checks for a couple months in a row and then hoping you do well on your own. We need to build a housing stability plan that you can execute for the next number of years.
And, sir, that really kind of eliminates the fact that why you have judges at the stand-downs, because occasionally our homeless veterans had some issues with driving tickets or some other issues, legal issues. If we can clear that up, then we can start working on the other things and bringing them back.
Yeah, absolutely, Tom. Sometimes people think, maybe even a listener or two, that we're letting a veteran off the hook or that he's going to get over or get by. That's not what we're talking about. If you've been homeless for any period of time, you likely once rode the train without paying, or peed on the corner post when you weren't supposed to, or maybe even took a Snickers out of the front of the grocery store when you weren't supposed to. Those kinds of things will keep you from being able to get a job, and they'll keep you from being housed in the future. That's what we work on at the stand down. Our judges don't let anybody off the hook. They adjudicate those. Fines are paid. Licenses are reinstated so that people can drive to work. Retainers are canceled, and our veterans are able to have a good shot at moving forward again.
So clear one problem at a time and move on to the tougher ones and try to get them back. Sir, we've got about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Well, what I would say is I continue to be impressed by your listeners and by what you're doing, Tom. I know you're at 47 stations right now. I hope that I can help you get to 50, just like I'm sure Lowell's going to try to help you get to 50, because you actually do as much to connect us as we do, to connect ourselves and to stay involved. And so just a reminder to your listeners, call us, call somebody else if you don't want to call us, call your CVSO, but please let us know about the veterans that you know that are struggling or in crisis.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. What a great day.
That was Neil Leutholt, president of MACV. And for all our listeners, please go to macv.org, mac-v.org, and see if you can volunteer or help with some donations. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer. Robbie, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks for having me. Happy New Year.
No, same to you. How are all the veterans down in your county doing?
Well, it's snowing pretty good today, so other than that, they're all doing well.
Well, I hope they've got good housing and something to eat, and you're taking good care of them down there.
We do our best.
Yes, sir. We want to talk today a little bit about the State Soldiers Assistance Program.
Yep. The State Soldiers Assistance Program, Tom, was established in 1944 and provides direct or emergency financial assistance to veterans, dependents, and their survivors. It's commonly known amongst the Veterans Service Officers as SSAP.
Yeah, and are all veterans eligible for that?
All veterans that are qualified as a veteran by the state of Minnesota.
So honorably discharged, and
yep.
The type of veterans that come to the county veteran service officers to get some information and help.
Yep, and also their spouses and dependents are also eligible for this program.
So what type of items does this program pay for?
Well, the SSAP program offers dental and optical benefits, subsistence benefits, special needs grants, and education benefits.
So that's kind of a wide array, isn't it?
It sure is, but there's a lot of veterans that need different types of help throughout the state.
And what kind of benefits are most applied for from the program?
Well, usually it's the dental and the optical benefits. You know, these two programs are income and asset-based and can be granted to the veteran and their family members if they qualify. Now, the dental program provides assistance for routine services, extractions for dentures and dentures, and the optical program provides for eye exams, prescription glasses, and contacts. And the great thing is these veterans can go right there in their community at a supporting dentist or optician.
So, Rob, you said these programs are income and asset-based. So that means if the veteran has low income and not many assets and needs some help with dental or optical benefits, then they'd be eligible more than likely?
More than likely they would be.
And how does a veteran find out more about the SSAP benefits and apply for help?
Well, what they need to do is come on into your local CVSO office and work with your county veteran service officer to find out if you're eligible to apply for these. You have to be recommended by your county veteran service officer.
So the only way to get that is to go to your county veteran service officer, and that's what we always say anyway. If a veteran needs any help or any resources, go visit your local county veteran service officer, and if you can't help them, you can tell them where to go to get help.
That's a fact.
Robbie, I want to thank you for calling in again today, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Sounds good. Have a great day, and everybody stay warm out there.
Thank you, sir. That was Robbie Robinson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brigadier General Lowell Cruz, Neil Leuthold, president of MACV, Robbie Robinson, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Department of Defense's new retirement plan and get an update from Minnesota's American Legion. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.